It's Let's Talk Legal here on the Talk Station FM 107.1. And joining us today, Cecil Harvell of Harvell and Collins. Normally, we would have Cecil and Wes on, but as I understand from Cecil a few moments ago before we started, Wes is in court where, well, we appreciate that. That is his job, but we do miss him today. But we've got Cecil. I was reading a story earlier today in the Washington Post, an interesting story in Delaware. An individual owned a large tract of land in Delaware, many, many acres. I didn't remember the details of that aspect, but in the process of his death, he bequeathed the property to his nephew and family, and the nephew and family decided, well, what we would do is go ahead and utilize this property. They had never visited it, so they went up to look at it, visited this multi-acre plot in Delaware, and began planning to develop it, and discovered there was a goat pen on the property, and they, of course, went to have the goat pen removed, and the owner of the goat pen said, wait a second, this has been my backyard all my life. Well, the conclusion is that there was a dispute, a legal dispute, and the owners of the property were required to relinquish a quarter acre of this major property development, which amounted to about $125,000 in value. And the reason? Adverse possession. The individual had been using this property for over, 20 years or more, and had never been restrained from using it or anything of that nature, and apparently that's Delaware law. And I know that each state has different regulations and statutes, but I found it interesting, and I'm curious. First off, what are the rules related to adverse possession? We hear the story all the time. And then the other comment was mentioned in the story that the attorney for the plaintiffs in this case commented at the conclusion, you've got to be very careful with that with adverse possession, even in the case of planting a tree. So with that, Cecil,
yes.
Good afternoon to you. I'm
good
curious.
Good afternoon, Lockwood. This is a good one. Brings up lots of issues, actually, and I will address the adverse possession here in just a minute, but I think what right out of the gate comes to my mind is that our listeners need to understand that you inherit property, same with a deed, if you are deeded property.
Mm-hmm.
You take what the seller has, mm-hmm. the good, the bad, the indifferent.
Ooh.
The property comes with any matters of law pertaining to it. In your case, the adverse possession law. But Lockwood, I get basic fundamental questions. You know, like, well, I inherited the property. It has a mortgage on it. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? It's now your mortgage.
Wow.
I inherited the property, and it has this easement on it, but I don't think my mother or father ever knew about that easement and never really used it, never really did anything about it. Am I subject to that easement? The answer is yes.
Wow.
You know, anything and everything that touches and concerns real property, the title, the mortgages, the easements, the ingress, the egress, all of this, the adverse possession, all of this is there when you either inherit the property or you are deeded the property, and you and with the transfer of soil, if you will, comes the transfer of all of these other legal issues. And so, of course, it's important if you are buying a property to research the property thoroughly,
mm-hmm.
Known as it many times just called so that we can call it what it is. People recognize the term. Well, I had a title search.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a title search is going to begin to indicate most of these things. There are certain things that a title search won't indicate. That might be the subject of a whole other afternoon discussion, but we need that. Now, when we inherit property, which is what happened in your factual scenario, we really did not have the opportunity to research the property and to discover that there was this adverse possession issue. But we did inherit it, and we do take it subject to this issue. So this is important. This is a great place to start the conversation. Now, Lockwood, more on point with the question, yes, adverse possession is an interest in real property. Adverse possession needs to be open. The elements are open, mm-hmm. notorious, and adverse. In other words, you are occupying the property clearly and openly and notoriously in adversity to the proper owner. And so the owner needs to do something about this. And so, you know, the creation of a fence, the creation of a line of trees, mm-hmm. a shrubbery border, whatever the case might be, when these things are placed on your property or placed adjacent to your property, our listeners need to make sure that these improvements to our property are in fact, you know, on our property. Mm-hmm. And if they are not, then there needs to be, you know, a written agreement that there's an understanding the way that this person could have gotten out of affecting his or her heirs with a goat farm is to have had an agreement with right. the goat farm owner that, you know, you're on my property, we acknowledge this, and I give you permission to be on the property. And this is a permission agreement, and it is signed. And as a result of it being permissive, it is now no longer adverse. And, of course, okay. the statutes of adverse possession would not apply. So, Lockwood, I emphasize a lot on our programs, which we both thoroughly enjoy, the concept of being responsible for your estate, your right. will, your power of attorney, mm-hmm. your health care, your trust. We also are called to task to be responsible with regard to our ownerships. And ownerships of both land as well as, I might add, our account ownerships, our designation of beneficiaries on our life insurance, our IRAs, our annuities. I know I'm off track a bit, but all of this is part and parcel today of us kind of having a discussion, Lockwood, of keeping our house in order. Because right. if we don't keep our house in order, the next thing you know, we're going to have a goat farm lady saying that she owns part of our property.
Right.
Don't take for granted what happens on your property. Again, I mentioned things like the creation of an estuary dock, the creation mm-hmm. of a hedgerow, the planting of a row of trees, the placement of a fence, the, you know, paving or graveling of a road. All of these things are important that we wake up and look and listen and discover, well, gosh, is this encroaching on my property? We see this so very much with fences. Folks just go out, and fences have become like everything in our world, so expensive. People will go out and spend, you know, several thousand dollars installing a fence, and then lo and behold, find out that they've installed it on their neighbor's property
right.
Accidentally
right.
by a foot or two. Well, you know, this is a problem. Now, again, the issue, there could be a reduction to writing of the fact that this is now permissive, mm-hmm. that the fence has been installed and incorrectly installed and in error, and it will not become an adverse possession issue. But, you know, most people don't want those little defects, if you will, on the title to their property, those little cracks and crevices. Property's very expensive. They want it to be clean and clear and no entanglements, because if they go to sell it, then this issue has to be addressed.
Right.
Well, you know, the fence is on my property. That's true. My neighbor put it over 2 feet on my property. But we have an agreement that we agree that that I allowed it there. Well, you know, some people are going to like that, and some people are not going to like that. That could very well be the one issue that makes a buyer go to a different property
right.
that doesn't have that kind of issue. But we can't just ignore any of our our legal life, Lockwood. And Wes and I have also said to you so many times on this program, the sooner the better. Mm-hmm. Don't let these issues linger, hoping that they'll either go away or I'll get to it another day. It is important that when things come up in our legal world, again, I bring in everything, our powers of attorney, our bank accounts, our beneficiary designations, our fences, our docs. I mean, the list just goes on. But when we are dealing with these issues, let's deal with them with advice if necessary, a phone call with a good lawyer. Don't just ignore these kinds of legal happenings as they occur.
We're talking with Cecil Harvell this afternoon, of course, of Harvell and Collins. As we talk about this story related to the adverse possession, and I find this fascinating, you bring up something at the very opening, and I think this is an interesting aspect. We're talking about adverse possession, but it is part of a greater issue, an umbrella issue, and that, of course, is estate planning and management and dealing with how we structure our lives in many regards, and that issue of the simple solution example of someone doing some landscaping on our property only to discover that if you allowed this landscaping to continue for 20 years, and that creates the sense of possession on the part of the person who's doing the landscaping, even though it's not being utilized for other purposes. Many laborers do not want to get into conflicts with each other, but at the same time, it's a matter of just keeping everybody's life simple, is it not? By simply saying, okay, look, you've built this fence, very nice fence. However, you, Mr. Harvell, are going to acknowledge that the fence is on my property. In the case of I sell the property and the new owner says, well, I don't like that fence, does the new owner have the privilege or do I have the privilege of saying, okay, I'm going to remove that fence? I mean, in essence, thank you very much, Mr. Harvell, for building it, but I don't want it there anymore. I want to do something else. It's simple as that.
Well, if you had an agreement, and I don't mean a verbal agreement, right. Any agreement concerning real property or land has to be in writing. But if you had a permissive agreement that the neighbor understands that they erected the fence 2 feet onto my property, mm-hmm. and that we both acknowledge this, as does our heirs, successors, and assigns, and we understand that should it ever be necessary for me to sell my property, if the fence might at some point need to be removed, and that, you know, that's the agreement between the parties that it would be removed, then that's a very, very good place to be. And that is the kind of agreement that we prepare, you know, routinely at our office, because these things happen right. frequently, these factual scenarios. On the other hand, if there's no agreement, nothing has been stated, then we've got a major problem, don't we, Lockwood? Because, you know, we just can't go out there and start tearing down a fence that's been there for 10 years or right. 5 years or 20 years. Because the neighbor, of course, is going to take issue to that, and then there we are, you know, with a lawsuit and worse
and disruption. You know? So, yeah,
yeah.
You know, Cecil, let me interrupt here very quickly and make a comment. We look at those landscaping flags, those little red flags, triangular flags, or ribbons tied on trees and so forth, and I'll be, you know, candid, I sort of look at it and say, oh, that's okay, that's the rough line. But wait a second, that's not a rough line. That's an important line. And it can result in, if both parties, both sides of the property, aren't respective and respectful of those lines, it could end up in a very messy situation, lost friendships, a cost of money, and as we just heard, just as I was telling that story earlier, interruption in estate management and works. That's, you know, it's something I saw to take very casually. You're telling me don't do that.
Don't do that. Wow. And I'll tell you another very common factual scenario that we see is the our paths over property. Uh-huh. You know, gravel roads.
Right.
These things just have a way of meandering somehow mm-hmm. off the right. proper owner's property and onto their neighbors
right.
by some degree of footage or that. And of course, what happens is that, you know, folks putting up a fence, right. establishing a gravel road or reestablishing it in some way after a storm, you know, they don't want to have to hire a surveyor. Mm-hmm. It can be, you know, surveying can be very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Lockwood, now everything is expensive, but surveying is expensive, and lawyers are expensive. We hate that we are, but you know, these agreements, I mean, not that they're, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars, but there certainly is some expense associated with putting together a boundary line agreement between neighbors. But these are the kinds of things that, you know, several hundred dollars now can save us just tens of thousands of dollars later. And I also think that we have to realize that the cost of doing business, meaning owning mm-hmm. property,
right.
has this responsibility. I mean, if we can't own our property and maintain it with these adverse possession issues and boundary line agreements and fence installations and those kinds of things that occur, then we are asking for it. You know, we better wait until we can deal with these details.
Well,
they're important.
Well, in the case of this Delaware case that I mentioned earlier, and by the way, for those just joining us, we're talking with Cecil Harvell of Harvell and Collins. And by the way, the website harvellandcollins.com and that number 726-9050. We are, of course, in a high real estate market here in coastal North Carolina. And you mentioned a moment ago that obviously hiring a surveyor is expensive or hiring an attorney is expensive. However, as in the case of the Delaware situation of adverse possession for a goat pen of all things, the failure to spend a couple hundred dollars, maybe a couple of thousand dollars, cost this family $125,000 in lost asset value. And of course, in the process, probably interrupted their development plans and everything else. This is, you know, again, I have to say, Cecil, you mm-hmm. know, the whole issue of our real estate and, of course, being sensitive to our neighbors does require, as you've just pointed out, being responsible. I apologize. I'm really kind of fascinated by this topic.
Well, it's a good topic because it, yeah, I like the topic a lot, Lockwood, because of the fact that, you know, it just reminds us how we have to take care of our affairs.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one else to do it for us,
right.
and the devil is in the details,
right.
you know, and in this particular factual scenario, the owner of the property just allowed this woman year after year after year
right.
to occupy the property openly, notoriously. Without any permission, if you will, and as a result of that, the adverse possession claim is outstanding, and so now the inheritance, the beneficiaries of this estate, have that to deal with. And of course, I thought, as I said at the very beginning of the program, you know, we inherit what we inherit,
right?
The good, the bad, the indifferent. It all comes to us, you say.
Here's a quick question, and so before we wrap it up, I want to go back to the issue of adverse possession. We hear about it all the time, and my question here in North Carolina, what are the approximate, and I shouldn't say approximate, I don't want to get too deep into the weeds on this one, but what are the issues of, what are the items to establish for adverse possession in North Carolina? I assume it's different from state to state.
Well, it is Lockwood, and I'm going to have to defer on. I don't want to give. Okay. I mean, I didn't know we were going to talk about adverse possession is one of those kinds of things in the law.
Okay.
That every single time you're asked the question, you pull up the statute real quick and read off the elements, and then read off the years. Let me just say this. Something wants me to say generally about 20 years, but don't hold me accountable to that.
That's fine.
And the but there's two types of adverse possession, and I can just real quickly say that the one is, of course, the longer period of time, whereby we just simply are adversely possessing with a fence, a roadway, a driveway, whatever the case might be, you know, of a use of the property for a particular purpose, like this woman was using it as a goat farm. The other adverse possession is when the owner of the property has a deed, but the deed is incorrect for some reason, and under cloud of title, they are possessing the property. And after a shorter period of time, 7, 8, 9 years, something like that, they can claim that they own the property through the deed by adverse possession under cloud of title, because they do have a deed to the property. It's just that the deed has a faulty description of the property, includes property that isn't necessarily clearly intended. There's been a mistake made, but yet they've occupied the property pursuant to that deed. That's the second type of adverse possession.
This brings a quick observation on my part, Cecil. My apologies, but okay, so the client comes in, sits down to talk to you about planning their estate management and the transfer their deeds of assets and what have you to their family members upon their death, and it's in their will and so forth. So it's not a matter of, okay, Lockwood, thank you very much for this document. We'll put this in your will, and we'll just, you know, make sure that your children, grandchildren, what have you, will fall to them. So I'm gathering from this that you sort of examine these documents before you simply just apply them to the will. Am I correct on that?
It depends, Lockwood. It would just depend. I know that's a not clear answer, but I mean, you know, is it a deed to a condominium, a planned urban development, a lot and a block and a subdivision? Or are we talking about a family farm here that's owned by two or three of the children who inherited this and have an undivided or undivided interest or tenants in common interest? So there are certainly times that we have to examine the properties, and then there are other times that that it just isn't required.
This goes back to the work that you do in your capacity for estate management and planning. You know, here we have a situation where, and I'll wrap it up with this other question. A family acquires the property, wishes to develop it, and as you just said a moment ago, they inherit it with the good, the bad, and the indifferent. Are there instances where this can probably lead to a longer conversation, not today, where someone inherits something and they simply say, I don't want to have anything to do with it. I'm going to, not accept the inheritance. Is that possible? And if that is, what happens next?
That would be the disclaimer of an inheritance, if you will, a renunciation of an inheritance. And there certainly are ways in which we can discuss those issues and maybe help a client with that. Yes.
All right. And so there is ways to do that.
Yes.
Okay. I think this story, of course, about the adverse possession case in Delaware is a sort of a clear awareness on our part. I thought I've heard of it, but I've never heard a lot of stories about it. But this one, I mean,
what a good lawyer is going to do with that situation, Lockwood, is to attempt for there to be, you know, resolution, for there to be settlement. Something that comes to mind right out of the gate is that maybe the people who now have inherited the property and have been shocked and bewildered by the fact that their relative allowed this goat farming lady to possess it for so long, then maybe there's an agreement that we will allow you to continue to possess it for the remainder of your lifetime.
Okay.
But at some point, we would like for your possession to end. Or we are going to, you know, have issues with that.
Right.
So when these kinds of things come about, you know, good lawyers are going to try to look for some solutions or some middle ground.
We're talking with Cecil Harvell of Harvell and Collins. And again, to remind you, go to that website, harvellandcollins.com. Spell out the word and, please, harvellandcollins.com, or give them a call locally. 252 area code 726-9050. That's 726-9050. And as always, Cecil, thank you for your time. Fascinating story.
I'll be in touch. We'll talk next Tuesday afternoon. Look forward to it.
Let's talk legal here on the Talk Station.